This is Ranting with Randy. I'm Randy, and this is a podcast about anything and everything that can drive a sane person stark raving mad. It can be about music, sports, politics, the weather, the bus, the train, crackheads, giant umbrellas in the rain. And I'm going to kick it about sports for a minute. I haven't talked about sports in a long time, but what I really should be ranting about is the U.S. women's national soccer team blowing away Thailand, scoring 13 fucking goals, and the fact that they still do not get paid the same as the men's national team, who, by the way, not playing in a World Cup, but we'll leave it. That's for a whole nother rant for a whole nother day. This is about KD and this whole blame bullshit, because I've been watching SportsCenter since this morning and listening to First Take, listening to Get Up, listening to all of these pundits, listening to Charles Barkley, listening to Greeny, listening to Jalen Rose, listening to Damon, listening to all these people who, many of them professional athletes, many of them just, you know, sports pundits. And I'm going to throw my old two cents in here because, you know what? Fuck it. Because I played sports my entire life. I literally played soccer since I could kick a damn ball. And you on state select teams, was on a state championship soccer team in high school, and know what it's like to get hurt, broke bones, tore tendons, ligaments, muscles, bruised things, cracked ribs, broke my, the whole fucking nine, like every, what doesn't happen, no matter what sport you play, if you play at a level, at a competitive level, you're bound to at some point get hurt somehow, some way, whatever sport it might be. It's just, it's the human body. It's the nature of the human body to break down, or for somebody else to fucking break your ankle, or for somebody to slide tackle you, take you out of a game, or for somebody to cross check if you play hockey, or for somebody to, you know, like hip check you, or for somebody to, you know, I don't know, block a shot and send you flying, land on your ass. There's a million ways you could possibly get tweak an ankle. There are non-contact injuries. If shit's going to go, it's just going to go. That the human body works that way. The fact that Kevin Durant didn't practice for 33 days and then decided to go back in and play not only speaks to his competitive spirit, it not only speaks to the fact that the dude wanted to help his team, not only because their back was against the wall and that was a game five, it was an elimination game. If they lose, they're done. The Raptors win the championship. I get it. If you have that competitiveness in you and all you want to do is play and that's what you live for, forget about the fact that this is this guy's career. These athletes, it's their life. It's not like you're playing, you know, in high school that you're playing. You have that same competitive edge on whatever level it is. If you are playing as a competitive athlete in a competitive program and there are high school scholarships on the line, if there are high school state championships on the line, if you are playing in an elite school with an elite program, there is a pressure that comes with that. And there's a competitiveness that comes with that. And that's why you play on those teams, because everybody has that same competitive drive to be the best, to be number one, and to take the team where it needs to go. I can't talk about solo sports. I can't talk about running. I can't talk about track and field. I lasted one fartlek workout, puked my guts up, and that was the end of me in track for fucking ever. So I don't even understand how those solo sports work. Tennis, golf, any solo sport, sorry, I can't even begin to wrap my head around that. I need a team. I need people around me. I need to be part of a unit. I can't play sports any other way. I don't know. It's a whole nother mental level. It's a whole nother challenge. It's individualized sports or a whole gymnastics, even though you're part of a team. Like if you're competing for a school, you and your individual score alone, like on the balance beam when you fall off because it's fucking tiny and nobody should be able to do those things on like a fucking tiny piece of like wood or whatever the fuck the beam is made out of, and then that impacts your entire team score. No, that sucks. No, that is way too much mental pressure. It is no, just no. It's team sports or nothing. So that being said, Kevin Durant, let's get back to what we're really supposed to be ranting about here, which is Kevin Durant and who's to blame. So no one is to fucking blame. Let's just get that out. No one is to blame. Kevin Durant is a grown-ass man who makes tens of millions of fucking dollars. That aside, that being a factor, because look, I don't know the ins and outs of free agency. I just know that now his injury is going to fucking, the ripple effect of that is going to be insane. The New York newspapers are already like, Kevin Durant destroyed our entire future. And get the fuck out of here. Like, let's not even go into talking about the Knicks. Well, that's a whole nother clusterfuck of a disaster. But really, Kevin Durant has the best people around him. And you're going to tell me that there's a conflict of interest, that the team doctors for the Golden State Warriors are like, no, dude, you're cleared to play. Outside doctors also cleared him to play. There were multiple people. There were multiple medical professionals. There were multiple trainers that gave him clearance to play. Then it was up to Kevin Durant to say yes or no, because you know who said no? Kawhi Leonard, when he was sitting on the bench for the San Antonio fucking Spurs. He said no. He said, I don't trust the fucking doctors. I'm going to listen to my own body. I'm not ready to play. Go fuck yourself. I'm protecting my career. I'm protecting my financial interests. I'm protecting my family's financial interests. I'm protecting my fucking future. Sorry, I'm sitting. And the dude took a whole hell of a lot of heat for sitting on the fucking bench. It's also because then it gets into this whole ticket sales and people are paying to go see the best players in the world. That too is a whole nother debate for a whole nother day. Like, what do you do when you go and these big name stars like LeBron or Kawhi or, you know, a lot of the Spurs would sit and rest and take time off during the season to rest themselves. And people were like, dude, I fucking paid $1,000 for this fucking ticket. I don't want to see the second string. No disrespect to the second string, but I didn't pay all this money to see the second string. I am sure Kevin Durant knows that. And I am also sure that aside, Kevin Durant is a fucking competitor. Kevin Durant loves the fucking game of basketball. And like I said, on any level, if you have an ounce of competitive blood in your body and you are injured, you will duct tape the shit out of that injury just to get your ass back on the court, on the field, on the pitch, where whatever surface you're playing on, because you want to be with your team. You want to be with your team. And I guarantee you, the last thing Kevin Durant was thinking about was, I'm going to be a hindrance to my team. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to be only 2% and I'm going to drag the team down and we're going to lose game 5 and Toronto's going to get the fuck. Kevin Durant was like, I'm going in there. I'm going to contribute. I'm good enough to play. Everyone has cleared me. 87 doctors, 87 physical therapists. I've been getting treatment. These guys get world-class treatment on their injuries. Nobody is going to put Kevin Durant out there if they think that that's going to come back and bite them in the ass. And on some level, they're going to be responsible for that, for putting him out there too soon. You think Kevin Durant would have went out there and been like, yo, I'm only 20%, but I'm playing? Kevin Durant would have played at 20%, but the doctors wouldn't have cleared him to play. So this whole who's to blame is really, really atrocious. It's not fair. It's not fair to Kevin Durant. It's not fair to the team. It's not fair to the doctors that have cleared him. All an athlete wants to do is compete. That's all they want to do. But if they're not 100% and they don't think that their body can make it, they're going to sit. Kawhi Leonard sat. LeBron James sits. These athletes now are listening to their body, and they're resting. They're like, sorry, fans, we're resting. And then what do you do? But to sit here and for people to throw blame around, and for people to say that it's the medical staff's fault, it's not. They sat the guy for 33 days. They sat Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson sat on that bench seething. You could see the steam coming out of his eyeballs because of that hamstring injury. And they were like, you are not cleared to play. Dude went for treatment and the extra days of rest clearly helped. He came back and kaboom. Like it would, I mean, he was, look what he did in the game he had speaks for itself. But any athlete worth their weight in salt is going to say, I'm good to go. That's where it's up to the medical staff, the training staff, to say yes or no. What was he going to do? Kevin Durant, he's going to say, I'm playing? And what do you hold a grown-ass man back? What do you say, no, you're not? What do you strap him to the bench? Don't let him ride the bus? Don't let him go to the stadium? How do you stop that? It's difficult to stop. There is nothing more frustrating than being hurt and being part of a team. It's aggravating. Time seems to go, if it doesn't slow down, it seems to go in reverse. It seems to stop. you sit in that training room and time does not go forward. You rehab, you work at coming back, and it's a process. And anybody that has had any kind of injury knows that. And it's always, always, always sticky. That first game back. Practice is never at game speed. You never know what, because you're never playing at a level against other people that you don't know, no matter who you're practicing against your own team, unless you're scrimmaging. And even in scrimmages, there's like this unwritten rule. You don't take anybody out during a scrimmage. You don't intentionally go to hurt someone during a scrimmage. You don't look to slide tackle during a scrimmage. You don't look to do those things. So that, in effect, that is not a legitimate, it's not game speed. It's not played the same way. So even if Kevin Durant was scrimmaging 3-on-3, you think any one of those dudes that was scrimmaging with Kevin Durant 3-on-3 was afraid to like step on his foot or not box him out or back him out of somewhere or be the one to knock him down so that he doesn't get back up? That injury, that Achilles popped on its own. That was a 100% non-contact injury, like they all are when they pop. Nobody's grabbing you around the ankles, tackling you or slides. Dude, the chick that broke my ankle in high school in soccer slid into my leg and broke my ankle. This was a non-contact injury. It was going to happen regardless. The only other way it wouldn't have happened is if Kevin Durant did not play. And then who knows? And then honestly, who the fuck knows? He could have been walking to his car and stepped up off the wrong leg and that could have popped the Achilles. It could have been anything. So then there's also this, you never know what tomorrow brings. This is the NBA Finals. I mean, you say you don't get here every year unless you're the Golden State Warriors. I mean, the likelihood of playing in championship games every year in your career is likely slim to fucking none. But still, you don't want to let the opportunity pass you by because you don't know if you're ever going to get it again. And honestly, tomorrow is not granted to anybody. Look at David Ortiz. You think Big Poppy now thinks that tomorrow is a given? You could be anywhere at any time and anything could happen. Hopefully you don't put yourself in situations that present that type of scenario. But you want to take advantage of today and the amazing opportunities that you've worked so hard for. And Kevin Durant earned that right to make that decision himself. He listened to the doc. He's not an idiot. This guy is not an idiot. This guy's been playing professional basketball. This guy's been an athlete his whole life. This is not his first injury. I mean, the Achilles is bad. It's probably as bad an injury as you can get. I would probably even say it is as bad as an injury as you can get. Because you'll never be able to push off the same way. You'll never be able to jump the same way. The likelihood of that is very slim. For any sport, the Achilles is a motherfucker. Soccer, football, basketball, tennis, anything, gymnastics. Unless you're like a water polo player, and I'm probably sure at that point it still has some kind of impact. Because you're on your feet. You're pushing off. And you saw that shit. You saw that muscle. You saw that tendon when it popped. That vibration is petrifying to watch in slow motion. But you never know. So Kevin Durant was like, fuck it. I'm as close to 100%. I've been cleared by all the doctors. What am I supposed to do? Sit on the sideline? I'm one of the best basketball players on the planet. We're down 3-1. If we lose, it's over. It's a wrap. The season's finished. I give him more credit for playing, for trying, for sacrificing his body for his team. It's unbelievable. Because if he wouldn't have played, it would have been a shitstorm of Kevin Durant gives zero fucks about his team. He's selfish. He's all about himself. You can go back and look at all those stories about Kawhi when he sat, that this was selfish and it was all about himself. Kevin Durant put his team and his future above everything else. That's how committed he was. That's how committed he is. And the dude stuck around in the locker room to even watch the end of the game. That had to be gut-wrenching. Because when you're injured, you are pissed, you are angry, you are the why me? Why now? How? Why not somebody else? You're constantly, then it's like the doubt. Did I come back too soon? Was I really healthy? Should I have done it? Should I have sat? Shoulda, coulda, woulda. But he made the move to play. And now that's a decision that he's got to live with that will affect the rest of his life, the rest of his basketball career going forward. And he's going to get the best fucking medical care. I mean, let's not think that, you know, Kevin Durant is going back to some third world fucking country where he's going to like take two popsicle sticks and some gauze and like wrap his own leg up. Kevin Durant is going to get he gets the best doctors on the planet, state-of-the-art treatment, state-of-the-art therapy, state-of-the-art everything. The injury still sucks, but I mean, shit, if you're going to have an injury, you know, and you're a professional athlete, there are going to be a bazillion people around you making sure that you damn well have every opportunity to get back to 100% and the way you were before you were injured. It's the best of the best. It's the cream of the crop. You think every trainer in every high school, in every college, you're like, thank God. You're like, you cherish those moments in the training room. Otherwise, you'd be laying at home on your own couch, like Googling rice. Rest, ice, compression, elevation. 20 minutes on, 20 minutes off. 15 minutes on, 15 minutes off. Living for the ace bandage. Wrap it. Now you have all this kinesiology tape, you have all of these treatments, you have aquatherapy, you have all this compression, you have, I mean, Kobe Bryant used to lay in those puffy leg things every day after practice. I mean, there is every tool available to these athletes to ensure that they recover at a faster rate than everybody. Maybe recovering faster is detrimental, I don't know. But when you have all of those things at your disposal and all of those people working with you, you're guaranteed to not recover. First of all, these people have money invested in you. They're not stupid. Your agent, your sponsors, everybody loves the comeback story from an injury. I mean, shit. Talk about comeback stories from injuries. Look at Lindsay fucking Vaughn. You want to talk about somebody that's more pins and rods and steel and still has the fucking gumption to fly at like 80 miles an hour down a slope. That is a comeback. Everybody loves the comeback story. And I guarantee you, Kevin Durant will have a comeback story. He's not done. He's not finished. So stop the fucking blame game. Stop the blaming. And I know there's a whole thing. I mean, I guarantee you, Lincoln Mitchell could talk about how you rest pitchers in baseball, how many pitches they throw, pitch counts. Oh, there's no, in basketball, there's minutes played. How many minutes do you play someone? How many minutes do you sit them? How do you get them off the court when they're on it? They refuse to come off. How many fouls do you let them step? There are a million ways to control an athlete that might not be 100%. They might not like it. Kevin Durant might not have wanted to play only 11 minutes. The dude was banging down threes from the second he stepped on the court. People were saying it could have been a 40-point game. Could have been. But now the dude is in a whole different position. You know who's quick to come out of games? Pitchers. You see them tap their arm. Oop, I think I feel something. They sit the fuck down. They go right into the dugout, right into the training room, right into the MRI tube. And they were like, let's fix this shit. Because you know why? The rest of their career depends on it. There are no super duper rush to get back because they know they look for the long game. But sometimes in certain sports, there's no long game. The game is now. It's now or never. And that's a whole nother debate. How long do you sit somebody? How many minutes do you? That's the coach's fucking job. Dude, that's why they make millions of dollars. They're the fucking coach. They know that shit. They also have an entire team of assistant coaches. They have assistant coaches. They have the trainers on the bench. They have the doctors on the bench. Like, sit the fuck down. If I tell you to sit, you sit. That was also frustrating. It's really, nobody wants to come out of the game. Trust me. Look at every player that plays banged up, bruised up, bloody. Women's soccer players shove tissues up their nose, chomp on, their lips are bleeding. Nobody wants to come out. Every athlete, every single athlete is competitive to the point of being dragged off on a fucking stretcher. That's probably the only way to guarantee you could get somebody off the court or off the field. If they're that fucking hurt. I mean, that's how it was. Look, I mean, I couldn't have played with a broken ankle. But you're like, damn, let me hop around. I think I'm okay on one foot. I still got one good leg. Come on. That's just what it's like when you don't want to quit. You don't want to let anybody down. You have a team that depends on you. You have friends. It's like your family. You don't want to let your family down. That's the bond of teammates. That's the bond. That's sportsmanship. You don't want to quit. And I'm sure it exists in those individual sports. I'm not saying that it doesn't. I'm just saying that it's different. It's different than being part of a team. When you only have yourself to depend on, that's a whole nother level. But when you are part of a team and other people are depending on you, like the Warriors were depending on Kevin Durant, and now they got to play without him. And now the dude has a year possibly to sit out, rehab himself, and find a way to come back to nobody knows where he's going to go. Hopefully he stays at Golden State. But nobody knows where he's going to go. Nobody knows how this is going to affect the free agent market. But the guy gave everything he had and he sacrificed his body. You can't ask for anything else than anything more than that. And for that douchebag president of operations, Bob Myers or whatever his name is, sit up there and cry. Bro, put your big boy fucking pants on. It's not your fault. You don't fall on the sword for the team. Get the fuck out of here. Nobody wants to hear from you. That was pathetic. I couldn't even watch that. I was like, who is this dude? Why is he sniffling like that? Put on your big boy pants. Kevin made a decision. Everybody cleared him. We thought he was good to go. He thought he was good to go. And to his Achilles didn't think it was good to go. Your body will let you know. And that's it. That's how it goes. Kevin Durant wasn't out there looking to sabotage his career, looking to go down with a season-ending injury and a year-long recovery, you know, an injury that takes close to a year to recover from. Maybe he's Superman. Maybe he recovers sooner. Who the fuck knows? But still, nothing was intentional, which is why there's no one to blame. That's basically all I'm saying. And look, you could come at me and you could say it's the doctor's fault. They never should have cleared him. The team doctors are in conflict with his doctors, and Kevin's camp is fighting with the Warriors' camp and is fighting with. Get the fuck out of here. Kevin Durant wanted to fucking play. He didn't want to let his team down. He didn't want to let his brothers down. He couldn't live with himself if he didn't play, or if he didn't at least try. It's not like when Kawhi sat, they were going for a championship, or they were in a position to win it all. Kawhi Leonard was saving himself for the rest of his career. This was winning the NBA Finals and not getting eliminated. It's a whole different ball game, in my opinion. But I know there's so many different schools of thought out there. The bottom line is, Kevin Durant needs to come out and say, no one is to blame. He shouldn't even have to say that. This is like a grown man playing a sport as a profession. He gets paid to play. And so I think he did the right thing. He played. You want the best of the best of the best in a championship game out on the court playing. You don't want the third, no disrespect to the second string, the third string, anybody. Next man up. That's how it always is. That's why nobody wants to go out. That's why nobody wants to be subbed. That's why, because it's always next man up or next woman up or next person up. And sometimes that next person may potentially play better than you. And you may find yourself sitting on the bench the next time. So you don't want to give, and it becomes somewhat selfish in a weird sort of way. Because you're like, I'm not going out and giving some motherfucker the next opportunity to take my spot. Fuck out of here. I never wanted to come out of a basketball game or a soccer game ever. Never. First of all, I just wanted to be out there grinding, playing, sliding, getting dirty, being a part of everything. But then again, I also didn't want somebody else to come in and have an opportunity to take my spot. Hell no. That's the competitiveness. It's not meant to be like this rude, obnoxious, asshole-y behavior. That's just the way it is, because sometimes the next man up might just be better than you. And then you're like, fuck, what do I do now? I got to work harder. I got to earn my spot back. Fuck out of here. I'm not giving you that chance unless you drag me out of here on a fucking stretcher. Sometimes that happens. Like when they threw me in the back of some chick's car. Well, not the chick's car. It was her mom's car. She didn't drive. Her mom drove. That was an absolutely horrible experience. I don't remember my ankle breaking. I don't remember any of that. All I know is 1 minute I was on the soccer field, the next minute I was in the backseat of someone's station wagon. I was like, where the fuck am I going? I mean, the whole backstory is like, there's a big backstory to that, which is I never got a lot. The girl whose parents' car I ended up in, now I'm going to end up telling you this anyway, and I'll tell it really quick, which I won't, but the parents of the girl who I actually, I won't say her name because now it just flashed into my head and it was such a long time ago, but I ended up in the back seat of this girl's parents' car and I actually hated this girl because for some reason, we didn't get along on the team. I don't know if it was like a dueling position kind of thing or whatever it was or what happened with her parents. All I know is that my parents weren't there. That's a whole nother story that generally gets told in therapy. But I ended up in the back seat of her parents' car, and they drove me to my friend's dad's office because he was a doctor. This was a whole shit show. And I don't even want to go into the – I can't – I don't even – it's been so long, but there was so much, like, random other shit going on with this particular doctor and some bad stuff that I don't want to – give anybody's name, and if you know what I'm talking about, you know, and if you don't know, sorry, you could DM me and we could talk about it off the air. Off the air. But anyway, I ended up somewhere and I don't remember, and so all I'm saying is, basically to get back to the main fucking point, is that the only way you're getting taken off and out of the game is if they drag you the fuck out. And I was pretty much basically unconscious, so they dragged me out. I couldn't stay. I had like one good leg, and the other leg was broken, so there was no staying. But that's how it goes, because you don't want to give up your spot. You think that you are the best. If you don't think that you're the best, you will never make it onto those teams. You will never make it to the next level. You have to think that you're the best. You have to have somewhat of that arrogance. You have to have somewhat of that cockiness. You have to have somewhat of that sense of, I'm the best person to be playing this position. I'm not, and I worked hard to get here, and I earned it, and the blood, sweat, and the tears that I put into it, and I'll be damned if you're gonna take me out. That's how it goes. And I understand how Kevin Durant was like, fuck, I want to play. God damn it. That is just the competitive nature within athletes. And it's hard to convince them otherwise. And this is what sometimes unfortunately happens. And that being said, well, listen, you could let me know what you think. You could let me know if you think Kevin Durant is to blame, or if the Golden State Warriors are to blame, or if everyone is to fucking blame and it was just a big clusterfuck and he never should have played and the series should have played out with Kevin Durant on the bench. I mean, there are so many different possible outcomes. which is why you can't blame anybody. You can't blame any one person. And that's why it was a total douchebag move of this president of operations to cry on this at the press conference and fall on the sword. Because no, bro, that's not your sword to fall on. It's not how it works. It's just, not your fault. It's nobody's fault. Let's hear from Kevin Durant. And Kevin Durant can speak for his own damn self. And I think that, you know, until we hear from Kevin Durant, we're not going to really truly know. And I guarantee you, Kevin Durant is going to say, I felt I was ready to play. I wanted to be out there with my team, giving us a chance to win. And he's going to want to come back, and he's going to want to play, and his career is not over because he's a competitor. So, I don't know. I just feel like I had to get that out there because I was so sick and tired of watching everybody try to play the blame game. And, you know, I know that's what makes all these sports TV shows great. And that's, I think, the insight from somebody like Jay Williams, and I think listening to Greeny, and I think listening to Jalen Rose, and I think listening to, you know, sometimes I just can't stand Stephen A. Smith. And I just think that, you know, you need to talk to the athletes. You need to listen to the athletes. You need to listen to the people who have been there and who understand what it's like and who go through the pain and who are in those positions. You need to hear their perspective on what it's like. And then formulate your own conclusions and your own opinion and your own decision. And that's the way I form my decision. Kevin Durant wanted to play. Period. Full stop. End of story. He said he was cleared. He had permission. He went through, you know, what he needed to go through. If he wasn't 100% at the walkthroughs and he still wanted to come out and he had the clearance, who's going to stop him? Kevin Durant would have stopped Kevin Durant. And maybe Kevin Durant wouldn't have stopped Kevin Durant. Maybe that's why the argument is coaches need to stop players because no matter what, players want to play. Okay, but there, you know, at what point does the coach say he's cleared? I have no reason to sit him. He tells me he wants to play. He has the medical clearance. He could play. I'll control his minutes. I'll do the best I can to not overwork him or to not grind him down or put him in a detrimental situation. But other than that, it wasn't like he wasn't cleared and he played anyway. So I don't know. I am so sure the debate will continue, and the debate will continue for the for as long as sports continue, because this issue is not going to go away, because athletes will continue to get hurt and they will continue to want to play, and the fans will continue to want to pay money to see all of the big name athletes. And it's not even just the superstar athletes. It's athletes on any, I'm going to say it again. It's athletes on any level. If you have an ounce of competitiveness in your bones, you want to play the game. And that is all. That's all I have to say about that. So let me know. You can come at me. Let me know what you think. You can find me on Twitter at Wicked Sick Poet. You can find me on the Instagram at Doodleheads. You can also find me watching Game 6, rooting for the Golden State Warriors, even though I really love Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard is a really stand-up human being. And I have to say, shout out to the Toronto Raptors who were on the court, who really shushed their fans from cheering when Kevin Durant went down with the injury. And I know that was a whole nother big story also, but the fact that Serge Ibaka and Kyle Lowry and all and Green and all those dudes were like, don't stop cheering, this is not right. And they all walked over to Kevin Durant, and that was a respectful moment in sports because that's the human side of sports. And the fans that were cheering, I mean, that's the emotion that you get wrapped up in, and you're like, yeah, he's down. Oh, whoa, he's really fucking hurt. Back up. There's a pause between like the instant that somebody goes down, and I think the instant that maybe you're like, oh shit, this is bad. And I think that's what the Raptors players were trying to like, yo, this is really bad, stop, don't cheer, that's mad disrespectful, don't do that. That's not what sports is about. So shout out to all those players that did that, and you know, that was the right thing to do because nobody wants to see anybody else really get hurt. That's the human level of sports. That's how it should be. Okay, so let me know what you think. I don't know. I could try to find Lincoln and see what he thinks. I'll tag him in the tweet. You can let me know what you think. You could subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher, and I think it's still on Google Play. I'm not really sure how to even fucking find it there. And thanks, as always, for listening. And you know that we'll be back with another podcast sooner rather than later. And with that, we say peace and hair grease.